There's a number I want you to carry with you today. 178 seconds. That's just under 3 minutes. It's about how long it takes to boil an egg. It's shorter than most songs on the radio, and according to a study that's been quietly saving lives for more than 60 years, 178 seconds is roughly how long a pilot with no instrument training survives after flying a perfectly good airplane into a cloud. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a sharper, safer pilot one topic at a time. Today, we are not talking about a maneuver. We're talking about the thing that actually kills people in this business, which is not the airplane and not the weather. It's the decision. Or really, it's a whole chain of little decisions, each one reasonable on its own, that walk a good pilot right up to the edge before they ever realize they're standing on it. Let's walk through this together. Before we go further, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo, there's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you earn one lesson and one landing at a time. That's aviationsoul.com. Now, where does that number come from? Back in the 1950s, researchers at the University of Illinois took 20 non-instrument rated pilots, put them in simulators and airplanes, and had them fly into simulated instrument conditions. No visible horizon, just the instruments and their own two hands. They wanted to know how long these pilots could keep the airplane under control before things came apart. The answer on average was 178 seconds. Some lasted longer, some lost it in under a minute. But the average came out right around that 2 minutes and 58 second mark, and that number has echoed through flight training ever since. You'll still see it quoted by the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, in their safety materials today. Here's why it happens, and this is the part that matters. When you lose the horizon, you lose the single most important reference your body has for staying upright. And your inner ear, your vestibular system, is a liar. It will tell you that you're straight and level when you're actually in a descending turn. It'll tell you you're turning when your wing's level. Pilots call it the graveyard spiral, and it earned that name, honestly. The airplane banks a little. The nose drops a little. Airspeed builds. The pilot feels the speed and pulls back, which tightens the turn, which drops the nose more. Round and round, tighter and faster all the way down. And the whole time the pilot swears they're doing the right thing. That's the physiology. But here's what I really want you to hear by the time you're in the cloud fighting that spiral. The accident already happened. It happened 20 minutes ago, it happened an hour ago. It happened in the flight planning room and at the fuel pump and in the run-up area, in a series of small moments where the answer was yes when it should have been not today. That's what scenario-based decision-making is really about. It's learning to see the chain before the last link. So let me build one of these chains for you, and I want you to ride along, because I promise you at every single step, you're going to understand exactly why this pilot did what they did. That's the trap. None of it looks crazy from the inside. Picture a Saturday afternoon. Our pilot, call him a private certificate holder, maybe 200 hours. No instrument rating. He's flying his family from an airport near home to a lake house about 140 miles away. They do it a few times a year. He's comfortable on the route. Kids in the back, spouse up front. The forecast that morning called for a marginal day, ceilings coming down through the afternoon, some mist and lowering visibility rolling in behind a warm front by evening, nothing violent, no thunderstorms, just gray, wet, sinking air. Decision number one. He looks at the forecast and he thinks, well, if I leave by 2 o'clock, I'll be on the ground well before the weather arrives. Reasonable, right? That's exactly the kind of thinking we teach. Beat the weather, except the family runs late, lunch runs long, the car won't start, whatever it is. Now it's 3:30. And here's decision number two, the quiet one nobody notices. He doesn't replan. He doesn't pull a fresh briefing. In his head, the plan from this morning is still the plan. But the weather didn't agree to wait for his family. The whole timeline has shifted, and the margin he built in at 2 o'clock is gone by 3:30. He just hasn't done the math. This is where I want to introduce you to a tool, because scenario-based training isn't just telling scary stories, it's giving you a framework to catch yourself. The FAA teaches a checklist called PAVE. PAVE. Like paving a road, four letters P is for pilot, A is for aircraft, V is for environment, E is for external pressures. You run it before you fly, and you run it again in the air when things change. Let's put our Saturday pilot through it and watch the risk light up. Pilot. He's current. He's healthy. He's flown this route. but he has no instrument rating and, let's say, no meaningful actual instrument time in years. Against a forecast for lowering ceilings, that's not a small gap, that's the gap aircraft. The airplane's fine, well-equipped, well-maintained, no problem here. And that's actually part of the danger, because when the machine is solid, we tend to feel like the whole situation is solid environment. Here it is. Marginal visual conditions deteriorating, with terrain and rising ground along the back half of the route, and the sun going down around the same time the ceiling does. Every one of those is a risk factor, and they don't add up, they multiply. Low ceilings are manageable, low ceilings plus falling darkness plus rising terrain is a completely different animal.
External pressures. The family's in the airplane. The lake house is booked. Everybody's tired and just wants to get there. Tomorrow's a work day. This right here is the engine that drives most of these accidents. We've got a name for it, get-there-itis. The powerful, almost invisible need to complete the trip as planned, that quietly reaches into your cockpit and pushes your personal minimums down one notch at a time. Run pave honestly at 3:30 and the picture is loud. But our pilot doesn't run it, because at 3:30 he doesn't think he's making a big decision. He thinks he's just finally leaving. So they launch. And for the first 45 minutes, it's fine. It's actually kind of pretty, a little hazy, a little gray, but he can see the ground, he can see ahead. Everything's normal. And this is decision number 3, the sneakiest one of the whole flight. Nothing is wrong yet. So there's nothing to react to. The conditions are getting worse so gradually that there's never a single moment that says now, right now, is when you turn around. The visibility goes from 10 miles to 8 to 6 to 4, and each step is so small it never trips the alarm. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training: the dangerous weather is almost never the wall of black you can see coming. You'll turn around for that every time. The dangerous weather is the slow gray fade that never gives you a clean decision point, so you keep flying into it, 5% worse at a time, until you're somewhere you'd never have chosen to go if someone had dropped you there all at once. That's why scenario-based decision-making leans so hard on deciding in advance. You don't wait for the situation to feel bad enough, you set a hard line on the ground when your head is clear, and you honor it in the air, even when it doesn't feel necessary yet. Especially when it doesn't feel necessary yet. Something like, if my visibility drops below the number I picked, I turn around or I land at the nearest airport. Not I'll reassess, not it's probably fine. I turn around, you decide at once, on the ground, so you don't have to win an argument with yourself at 4,000 feet with your family watching. Our pilot didn't set that line. So now it's 50 minutes in. The ground is getting harder to see. The ridge ahead is buried in gray, and he does the thing that feels like caution but is actually the last link in the chain. He descends. He drops down to stay under the cloud and keep the ground in sight, lower and lower. And the ceiling comes down to meet him. And then for just a second, a wisp goes by the windshield. Then another. Then the ground is gone and the horizon is gone. And he is in it. The clock starts 178 seconds. Now. I told you this story to scare you a little, but I did not tell it to leave you there. Because the whole point of flying through that chain, link by link, is so you can see all the places it could have been broken. And there were so many at 3:30, a fresh weather briefing, and one honest run through pave. Broken. At the halfway point, a personal minimum set on the ground that said this visibility, no lower, turn around. Broken. At the first wisp of gray, the willingness to make a 180 back into the clear air he just came from. Air he knew was flyable because he'd just flown it. Broken. Any one of those, and there's no accident. There's just a slightly annoying day where the family drives the last stretch, or spends a night at a hotel near a diversion airport, and everybody grumbles and everybody lives. That's the trade. A little inconvenience for the whole rest of your life. It is the best deal in aviation, and we turn it down all the time. The FAA gives you one more tool I want to leave you with, because pave is what you check. But this is what you do, continuously, the entire flight. It's called the 3P model. Perceive, process, perform. Perceive the hazard. What is actually changing out there? The visibility is dropping. The ground's getting hard to see. Say it out loud if you have to. Naming it breaks the spell of pretending it's not happening. Process the risk. What does that change mean for me in this airplane with my training with these people on board? Not for a bush pilot with 1,000 hours of actual for me today. Perform. Do something about it while doing something is still cheap and easy. Turn. Climb. Land. Ask for help. Call it a day. And that last option, asking for help, I want to underline it. If you are ever a visual pilot who finds yourself slipping into the clouds, you are not out of moves. You key the microphone and you tell a controller you need help, you are not instrument rated, and you're in the weather. Say the words, declare an emergency if you need to, and do not spend 1 second worrying about the paperwork, because the paperwork is a problem you get to have later. And later is exactly what we're trying to buy you. They will give you headings. They will give you the nearest airport with better weather. Radar and a calm voice have walked more than one scared pilot back out into the clear. But you have to make the call while you still have those 178 seconds, not after you've spent them fighting the airplane. The examiner on your check ride, by the way, is listening for exactly this way of thinking. When they hand you a scenario, and they will, the destination going down below minimums, the passenger getting anxious, the fuel and the daylight both running thin at once, they are not looking for you to be a hero who presses on and pulls it off. The airman certification standards spell it out. They want to see you identify the hazards, weigh the risk out loud, recognize the external pressure for what it is, and make a decision you can defend. The best answer on a check ride and in your logbook is very often the one where you don't go, or you turn around, or you land somewhere that wasn't on the plan. That's not failing the scenario, that's passing the only test that actually counts. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive, and I'm not going to stand here and pretend that turning around 40 miles from the lake house with your family staring at you is easy. It isn't. That pressure is real and it's heavy, and every honest pilot has felt it. But the whole reason we drill these scenarios, the reason we memorize, PAVE and the 3 P's and carry a number like 178 seconds around in our heads is so that when the pressure comes, the decision is already half made. You did the thinking on a calm afternoon so you wouldn't have to do it in a cloud. That research came out of the University of Illinois, and it lives on today in the FAA's own safety publications. And I'd point you to the FAA's Risk Management Handbook if you want to sit with PAVE and the 3P model properly. There's more at radiohanger.com if you want it. So here's what I'll leave you with. The safest pilots I know are not the ones with the best hands. They're the ones who are a little bit afraid of that gray fade, and who decided, a long time ago and on the ground, that no lake house is worth 178 seconds. Set your line before you fly. And when the day tells you to turn around, be the pilot who listens. I'm Pattern. Keep it on the ground when the ground is where you belong, and I'll see you next time.